The purpose for worship is to praise God. He's worth it. The songs are enough to just declare what we think and what we believe about God. It has a secondary purpose. It prepares the heart for worshiping. I don't know about you, but do you spend some energy and thought getting to church so that you arrive having just, you know, run the gauntlet to get there and to be there and to be ready? And starting with prayer and praising God and worshiping Him, it prepares us. And now we take Bibles and you open them up. And if you lack one, there's always a Bible at the end of a row, right? But we're looking in the book of Romans, and we're about at chapter 10, right? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, book of Acts, and Romans in the New Testament, right? They work. Looking at Scripture works. Reading the Bible is how we used to download things. I don't know if you remember these days, right? So books, they have to be opened and read for the data inside them to be incorporated into us. So as we worship, we are opening Bibles because this is where God has put information in language, and language can be wiggly, in order for us to know Him, right? So you can know information and you can know a person. And the idea is to get from the head to the heart. And so here we have information. Now, here's my big question. What did I preach about last week? It's okay, I didn't remember either. I had to look at, now that's a shame, isn't it? Because it's kind of like, is what you're doing working, pal? You know? So we spend some time thinking. It becomes integrated into you as you think about it. Maybe one thought or another thought, it sticks. And sometimes you're over here and bored, your eyes are dry for tears. It's going so slow. But maybe someone over here is going, epiphany, you know, oh, that's the answer to my recent prayers. So it's difficult in a big room to say stuff that matters to everybody all the time. And I thought, okay, I'm going to preach, and we need to make sure it's building, and I know what the big picture is of Romans start to finish. I know what the big story is, Genesis to Revelation. I know that the thread through it all is the cross of Christ and what God's doing. What will I say in a week's time, Lord, when Sunday comes? What did I say? What did I say yesterday? I was like, oh, you know, there was the remembrance thing. Boy, that was like driving us, you know, to the clock. And come on, come on, come on. So I reflected on it, and the question is, what do we remember from week to week about what we hear? All right, and it brings to mind the Chinese proverb: "What I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. What I do, I understand." Have you ever heard that before? Okay, you can Google it. It's out there. So when I looked it up, I was reminded about what we thought about together last week. Has anybody memorized the memory verse from last week? Right? It was Romans chapter 9, verse 25. I'm going to read it from here. Okay. "Those who were not my people, I call my people. And her who was not beloved, I call beloved." That's what God said. So what was the point of that? What in the sermon had something to do with that memory verse? He's quoting from Isaiah. Isaiah goes on to say, "And they shall say, you are my God. People not my people, I called my people. Her who was not beloved, I called beloved. And they shall say, you are my God." God calling, people responding. God saying that they're, you know, you can think Israel, right? Selected people group, promises to Abraham, and God said, I will call people who are not my people. And I will call beloved her who is not beloved. And it speaks of Hagar and Ishmael and Sarah and Isaac. There's a lot of stuff there. So if you don't know Hosea, and if you haven't been with us recently, maybe this stuff is you know, new topic. But it was intended to cement the idea that God saves people from the consequences of our bad decisions. Right? Abraham and Hagar, I'll give God a son. And he got Ishmael. And God said, no, your wife is going to have a child. Isaac, and I will bless the world through your descendants. But then in Hosea, he says, it's not DNA. It's not racist preferences. But I call people. Now, we're not to say that Jewishness is racism. I'm not saying that Zionism is a racism, right? But if you think, because I'm descended from Abraham, I've got special digs, I can act however I want, and so God will bless me because I'm related, God says no. That would be racist. That's not the disposition we have toward God's covenantal promises to Israel, though. Those are big things. And he says, I call you. When we exercise free will and when we get it wrong, we sin. You don't hear the word all the time in Scripture, but there it is. It is sin. And last week we talked about God directing the heart like a potter molds clay. Do you remember that part? Do you remember we were talking about the potter and Jeremiah? Okay. So in Romans, we also have the idea of destiny, right? God directs events and people. Does anybody know, big, theological phrase like predestination, right? How about the will of God? How about your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Everybody traffics in destiny, predestination, God's will. But where they meet choice is always sparks, sanding, conflict of ideas. And you pity the man who thinks he's going to handle it before the clock strikes 12. But here's the stuff. We talked about the potter and the clay, God having destiny. Do you recall that God hardens Pharaoh's hearts? God hardens Pharaoh's heart, right? So, let my people go. I'll let you go. No, I won't let you go. Let my people go. I'll let some of you go. No, everyone has to go. Okay, you can all go. Oh no, what did I do? Why did I let them go? Go get them, right? And there's this back and forth with Pharaoh, but eventually the scripture says God hardened his heart. And you think, well, who could be responsible for punishment of something that they couldn't repent of? He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Tricky business. We talked about that last week. The ultimate idea being that Pharaoh made choices, and then in his obstinance and in his resistance, God said, okay, stand there, I'm going to make an example of you. I've been patient, I gave you a chance, your choices have led you to this spot. Now, for historical purposes, you will be an example to people. So stay there. Hardened his heart. Like where he chose to stand was his choice, but cement sets. Stuck there. Tricky. God directs the heart of the king like channels of water. I wish I had quoted that last week. It's Proverbs 21, verse 1. Now, you may not recognize that because what I did was I paraphrased it, right? I say, God directs the heart of the king like channels of water. But here's a quote of scripture in the New Living Translation. Proverbs 21 says this, the king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He directs it wherever he pleases. How about that? You ever try to get an ant to go toward a sweetie on the pavement when you're a kid? You're like, hey, ant, there's good stuff right over here, but you're going this way. Just come on, come on, come on, you know? And hopefully you don't squish it with your giant meat fists, you know, because it's a little tiny creature. But generally they just hit your hand and go up and over your hand and like, I don't care, I don't care. And the scripture says that God directs the heart of the king like channels of water. In the old days, in the good old, 1511 King James, come on, 1611 King James, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Did you have it memorized that way? It's the same stuff. Either way, you see, the Bible teaches that God directs events. So it's like God directing the heart the way a potter molds clay. Is everybody with me? Just a little nod. You're in deep thought, so your faces go numb when you're thinking. And it's hard to preach to. So if you just give me a little bob. Which is not to say that the person giving me these bobs is the same thing. It's slightly different. But we also touched upon the difficulty of this clay metaphor when you're talking about human hearts, right? We're not clumps, right? Not even when you're just sat in front of the TV. We're not just like, meh, you know, and God's got, you know, go and be this. I made you to be this. You didn't have any choice. The human heart is like this wiggly participant in what God is directing. Okay? And the complexity was lost on us, I think, last week of all these ideas. I think there was a lot said, and it was said quick, and it was we started early, we finished early, we got to the other thing, and I wanted to just make those points again. God directs, and we choose. It's both at the same time.